I'm going to ask you to do something that's not going to be that comfortable. And no, you don't have to come up here and talk or anything like that. That's my uncomfortable part. But I want to ask you just to think of the worst thing you've ever said. Now, the way you'll know it's the worst thing you've ever said is because you don't want to think about it. And I know that makes this exercise difficult. But it's a thing that you said and it was sort of like untakebackable, right? It was a thing that you said, and once it was out there, even if you apologize, and I know we spent 2 months ago talking about how to apologize, but even if you apologize, forgiveness is not a time machine, and you couldn't take it back, and it was just out there, and you still feel a little sick when you think about it, maybe, or maybe not, but you still know it was the worst thing, and I'm not going to share mine, and you don't have to share yours. I just want to ask you a few questions about them, and it's not something that you would be proud to stand up here and tell, because if I did that, like, I would tell you some horrible things I've said. In fact, over the years, I've said horrible things from up here and had to apologize later. I mean, that's a thing, you know? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was talking about your mom. Literal things I've done. I have said many terrible things over the years. I was thinking, like, when I was 14, I was trying to impress a young girl, and I was at her family for dinner, and I told a racist joke to a Polish family. Now, I knew that Polish people wouldn't like this Polak joke that my dad told me, but I didn't know the Palczynskis were Polish. So that was my bad. But see, that doesn't even make my top 10. That's just like, oh, fond memories for me, because I've said some. But here's the thing. There are some things I don't even want to think about, and I never tell you, and I'm not even honest enough to sort of tease out what they are. But I want to, you just hold on to your worst thing, and then I want to ask you a question. Did you mean to say it, or did it just slip out? Did you walk in that room going, I'm going to lay this down, man. I'm going to tell, boy, I can't wait. And maybe you had the conversation in your head many times before it came out, or did it just sort of pop out and it was surprised you as much as the person? And here's another question I have for you, and just keep thinking about that. We'll get past this, I promise. This is not the whole service, is it? But was it true or was it a lie? Like, it's possible that the worst thing you ever said was absolutely true. It's possible that, like, you dropped some truth. You said something that was 100% true and it was horrible. Or Maybe this morning, like, you're thinking of the worst thing you ever told, and it was a terrible, terrible lie. And let me ask you this, and you don't have to say because it might make you a bad person. But did it feel great? Did it, like, when you said that terrible thing to that person, then just like, oh, it was the greatest sort of, like, adrenaline rush you've ever had? Or when we talk about it this morning, do you feel still kind of sad and really regretful? And a couple more questions, like, about that. Do you regret it? Or are you just high-fiving yourself, like, right now, like, yeah, but here's the reason why I ask all these questions. Like, would you take it back if you could? I know you can't, but would you take it back? Like, if you could just go back in time and never have said that, would you? But here's why I ask you all those questions, because I want you to just sort of grab this idea, and this is what we're going to be working on this month. If you, and I know this is ironic because we're talking about taming the tongue, but there's like hundreds and hundreds, possibly thousands of flavor combinations in those questions, right? Like, you could, the worst thing you said, like a terrible thing that you said, could have been true, it could have been a lie, you could have felt great saying it, could have felt terrible saying it, might have popped out, might have planned it for months. Like, there's so many combinations. Like, if we went through and we were honest and we made like a graph or some sort of Venn diagram, or like we made a spreadsheet of all the terrible things that you and I have said, like, there would be so many sort of possibilities and different ways that we could, there's just thousands of ways you can say the wrong thing. Like, one of saying the right. It's so difficult because, like, we struggle with our health and we struggle with our fitness and our weight and all those things. And That's so, so difficult, but there's only a few factors, right? It's like diet and exercise and maybe some medical, sort of medical thing that you could deal with, but there's only a few factors that all of us deal with and we still struggle. Now imagine if there were thousands of factors, it would be so difficult. And that's why this whole exercise of taming the tongue is just so difficult, because there's so many ways of screwing it up. And in the world we live in, where we all sort of have a platform and we all sort of broadcast our lives, like, it is so, so simple to burn your life down. Like, you can lose your career, you could lose your relationships, you could alienate your children, you could alienate half of the country pretty easily. I mean, there's just so, so many possibilities to screw this thing up, isn't there? It's just so, so sort of like high stakes poker when it comes to what we say. And it seems simple. Now, I was thinking about this, like, our culture, sort of everything we read and everything we hear, makes it seem simple, like, well, just keep your mouth shut, all right? Right? Don't say, you know, but bite your tongue. This could just be called bite your tongue. It's super simple. Don't say bad stuff. Don't say offensive things. That's what our culture would say. Like, it would be easy. It should be pretty simple. Don't say the wrong thing. Bite your tongue. Shut up. Now, that's difficult in itself, just because offensive keeps changing so much, you know, right? Like just in the last couple of weeks, news reporter, I don't even know what they call it. I think in Britain they're called presenters, but one of them said that the youngest prince, I don't know that because I'm a man in America, but the youngest prince is taking ballet, and she said, yeah, he's probably not going to do that for long, and had to apologize to keep her job, because apparently she was gender shaming and dance shaming, which I'm into dance shaming. I'll tell you that right now. But like, it was just so weird. Like, who would have thought that was just an observation? She probably never thought of it and almost burned down her career. And you and I can think just from the last few weeks, like, things people have said, just things that, like, you can't even imagine would be offensive, but, you know, in the world we live in, so offensive. So not saying offensive things is pretty, it's a tall order at times, right? Because we don't even know what that means, maybe. It changes. And so I don't know about you. Other than Jesus, as a Christian, I follow Jesus. But other than that, I try to pattern my life out of the other greatest man who ever lived, and you probably do as well, and Dalton from Roadhouse. I've said it so many times. It goes without saying. And Dalton said, be nice. And so I really like that, you know, in his famous speech, and you know it by heart as well as I do, where he said, be nice. When they say bad things about your mother, be nice. When they hit you, be nice. When they say bad things about you, be nice, until it's not time to be nice, and then stop being nice. And they said, how will we know when to be nice and when not to be nice? He said, you won't, I'll tell you. That was a great moment. Anyway, you knew that by heart. Little sidebar here. I've been telling my daughter for years that there's a movie greater than Star Wars, Roadhouse. I mean, that goes without saying. And so I finally, just last week, we watched it together, because I thought she was old enough. She's 16. And I was like, I've been building it up. Like, this is the greatest movie. It's my hero. And then I forgot, because it was the 80s, how many times they showed his bare butt. And I had to go, not because of that, honey. Like, it's like, it is my favorite. It's great. And it was awkward. But anyway, like, even Dalton, who I honor and respect as I should, is the greatest man other than Jesus who ever lived. Like, how do you be nice all the time? And when not to be nice? And I read this from David in the Psalms this week, and I thought, oh. Well, let me just read it to you. Psalms 39, 1 through 3 said this, and this is a psalm of David. He said, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I'll hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. And as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. And the more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. And I was like, yeah, right. Right? Like, I'm reading the psalm going, yeah, that's a thing, right? Like, it's hard to just bite your tongue and not say something. And it builds up, and then maybe we spout off and say something we shouldn't say. And so I thought, well, you know, what about Jesus? That's other than Dalton from Roadhouse, who I should be following. And I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, Jesus was full of love. He was love incarnate, you know? For God so loved the world, but yet not always nice. In fact, not very nice at all, lots of times. And you might think, you know, maybe just a cursory knowledge of the New Testament or the Gospels, you might go, oh yeah, but he was mean to Pharisees. They were the bad guys. Oh, no, no, no. Number one, Jesus loved Pharisees, and he was not nice to them. He called them snakes and tombs and, you know, like, he was just mean to them many times in the things he said. But he loved them, and he wasn't that nice to his followers always. You know, he called his best friend, Peter, he's like, you are acting on the behalf of Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You know, I mean, he was tough, tough, tough on his friends. He was often very, very kind to people who had been harmed or put down. And man, that's amazing. But not nearly the sort of like nice, nerfed up world guy that we imagine him now. He was pretty tough. And if you don't believe me, just check this out. These are the words of Jesus. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I mean, that's not super happy, nice. Now, that's the difficulty we have as Christians, especially. Because on one hand, we obviously don't want to be jerks. And we're taught in Scripture very, very, you know, we're going to talk about this all month, you know, to tame our tongue and to watch what we say and not to harm people with our words and not to sin in our speech. And it's so, so important. And our culture sort of says, okay, so shut up about everything you think because we don't want to hear it. But yet, sort of the prime directive of sharing God's love for others and what Jesus would say is, man, it's going to be offensive at times. And that turned out to be exactly true. Because, you know, very soon after this, Jesus would die and you know, rise from the grave and, you know, hang around for a few days and go back to heaven. And this new church thing he started was hugely divisive. I mean, it was criminal for many years. And so, you know, we're sort of in this bubble in America, even though it's a post-Christian country where we still go, oh, well, you know, of course, a lot of people are Christians. But when you sort of watch the news from Hong Kong and see, you know, people singing hymns, you know, in a protest, you know, which will probably end terribly there eventually as China cracks down, you go, oh. That's more like what the first church was like. And so it's very difficult, right? It's a big problem, and I'm not sure that I know all the answers. I'm going to be working really hard to sort of study through this month. Because on one hand, man, we got to be so careful about what we say. Not just because we don't want to sort of, you know, antagonize people, that's no good, and we also don't want to be a bad representation of Christ, but also just in wisdom, guys, like you can burn your life down really quick. You know, what you say and what you type with your thumbs, and we're going to talk about that in a bit, like it's all the same thing, like you can really burn your life down very quickly. And so just from wisdom, like we should figure this out. So where we're going to hang out this month, and we're going to kind of branch off from, but there's so, so, so much wisdom in this one just 12 verse passage in James. Now, James is the brother of Jesus, and I think maybe that's why he had such a good handle on the subject, because he watched Jesus, you know, from a boy to, you know, being his savior, which is probably the greatest story in the New Testament if you think about it. Like when your brother, your older brother grows up to be the Messiah, like you're watching all along, and we find James, who is not convinced his brother is Messiah. In fact, we find James with his mother Mary at one point going, hey, Jesus, you probably should move back home. You're kind of embarrassing us with all this, you know, preaching thing. It's not going well. I don't know if you know that. Two, Jesus calling him, you know, later after he rises, comes back from the dead, you know, when the resurrection happens, we find James calling him my Lord and Master and Messiah. And you go, wow, that's a pretty amazing transition. But sort of the background of James, and I think why we can learn so much from him, is because he gets to follow Jesus from the time he is born and to leading the church later. Now, I don't like how this starts. You're going to love it, but it gets better, I hope. You'll see. Starts this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. And then this is the part I really hate and you're going to like. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. See, I don't like that because, like, I can coach things that I can't do, right? Like, I'm in martial arts and I got my black belt a year ago, but there's still so many kicks I can't do. But I can sort of watch my daughter, who's much better than I am. She's a third degree, but I can actually coach her. I can go, that's here, you got to turn over more. You need to lay back. You need to, because I can see it, but I can't do it. But James says, oh no, Don, you don't get that ability. I like to go, hey, let me tell you what you should do in your speech, and then I get to say whatever I want. I wish that were true, not true. And so I'm working on this, and it's not going well. I will tell you that. Like, I've just, like, been so convicted about this for the last month, going, oh, taming my tongue, I'm terrible at this. Like, you know, it's just like, I've got to work on this. And so I'm struggling with you. And if you walk out of here going, I'm not sure, like, where I'm at and if I could do that, I agree. And I really hate this part that says I'll be judged more strictly. Enjoy it if you will. But it goes on for all of us. It says, indeed we all, so this is all of us, make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. That's a pretty big statement. And could also control ourselves in every other way. And then he says some things that are so sort of simple, and it's easy to sort of take them for granted and go, well, of course. But this is a wisdom bomb. He says we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses it to go, even though the winds are strong. And in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. I mean, that's true, right? Like, even if you're not a Bible person, even if you don't, like, you're not a Christian this morning, and you're so welcome if you're not, thanks for being so open-minded to listen to a guy who paints houses for a living talk about an ancient book as a follower of Christ and Patrick Swayze, mostly Christ. But anyway, like, you're so open-minded. But I mean, no matter who you are this morning, even if you're super skeptical of this book we call the Bible, my goodness, don't miss the fact that thousands of years ago he said something that's still true. I mean, there's nothing in that you can go not applicable. I like writing NA in forms, don't you? Because it makes me feel good. Like, I don't have to fill that out. Like, I try to put NA in almost everything I can. It was funny this morning, we got a new TV in the kids' room. And now, apparently, when you get a TV, you have to register it with, I don't know, all of the overlords, the digital overlords. And so it said you have to set up a you know, at some sort of account. And so I said, action, first name action, last name church. We're an 11-year-old non-binary. It was interesting, but I got to put lots of NAs in there and it saved time and I liked that. But I can't think of anything in here that is not applicable. I mean, it's still true. Like, we still have horses. We didn't ride one to church, but you still put a bit in their mouth. We have people who have horses, right? That's still true, right? You can still put a bit in their mouth, and you turn that bit, and they turn. And there's also, like, rudders on ships. Like, even though we have nuclear-powered submarines, and we have jet thrusters on ships to move them closer to the dock, and he was talking about wind power, and now we're literally talking about, you know, a nuclear reactor running a steam turbine. The rudder thing is still a thing, right? It still works exactly as James says. It's not like, oh, that was what we used to think worked. Oh, we don't use bits anymore in horses. You know, we just kind of tell them where to go, and man, they go. That's not that, you know? It's like so true, still applicable. And so I just want you to know that, like, Technology has completely changed. But that's still true. And so taming your tongue also means taming your thumbs, right? Like, technology has changed. We may not communicate with our tongues as much. In fact, isn't it weird when someone calls you? I actually text people and go, I did this a couple times this week. Can I call you? I need to call you. And it just feels weird. It's like you have to get permission now. Like, I know it's weird. It's sort of personal and a little icky, but so we communicate with our thumbs. Like, literally, my wife communicates me with a thumbs up emoji or thumbs down. That's become night, and all of her children as well. In fact, she texts Chris something, our son, one time, and he said, "Are you mad at me?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Because there were words. I expected a thumbs up or a thumbs down." But like, we can literally, we do so much of our connection with our world around us, you know, with on our devices. So even though ships have changed and even though time has passed, you still true. And so there's no sort of get out of jail free card. It doesn't count because I didn't say it. I just typed it into my device. And it's all the same thing. And so let's follow on. It's just amazing, like, how true this thing is. And it's just, we're gonna hang out here a little bit over the next few months, might seem like it, next few weeks. But I want to kind of go into what else he says, and I want to pick out one thing that I think will help us start this journey. It says, "But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." Still true. The Amazon is burning down. "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body," which is a huge concept that we need to work through. I mean, literally, what you say, we know now, affects how you are physiologically. And even if you don't believe that, which I do, what you say can lead to a world of, you know, terrible things that can happen to you in your life, which completely affects your body. So he's absolutely right about that. And then he said, "For it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish." I don't know how they train. Training a reptile is difficult, I'm guessing. He didn't put cats in there, so this is still true. Can't train cats. "But no one can tame the tongue. It's restless, and it's evil, and full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God." Working on it, James, sorry. "And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water?" He's saying, like, can you go to a spring and it be both polluted and safe to drink? And we would say, of course not. If it's polluted, you can't drink out of it. But we would go, oh, sometimes I say good things and sometimes I say bad things. And on balance, it's probably good. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. And so that's a tough concept. "Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapefruit produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty stream." Now, there's so much in there, and we're going to work through that, and it's going to help us a lot this month. Like, it is actually going to change, I believe, like, our lives for the better. But I just want you to know what he said there is so true. And we could start thinking about it like that. Like, he said, our words, our tongues are like a flame. And that's true. And think about it. Like, think of, like, fire in our world and in, you know, throughout history. Like, absolutely, like, life-saving and wonderful. Like, there's nothing better. And, oh, it starts to feel fall-y outside. Like, how great is it, like, to sit around a fire pit? Or I get excited when it starts getting, like, a little cold at night and I can turn the fireplace on. Like, that's, to me, is, like, the greatest moment in the year. Like, oh, I'll get to fire up the fireplace and it just draws the cats. And, like, there's fat cats laying in front of a fire and I'm a fat guy laying. It's just great. But that's so calming. And, like, fire can save your life. Like, and fire is sort of built our entire economy and built sort of all the technology. You might go, we don't use fire anymore. Oh yeah, but we use fire to make all the things that we use to not make fire. It's part of everything, but yet out of control, you can burn down the Amazon. Like, you can burn down your house or save your life with the same thing. And that That's what James is saying, and it's such a perfect, perfect picture of what our words are like, right? He said, among all parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire. For it. See, it's so powerful. And I think such a perfect picture and such a perfect like way of thinking about this, like fire is both a gift and a curse, right? Like depending on the situation, like having a lighter might be the most valuable thing you could have. We used to use them for light a lot, and now it's our phones, but you cannot start a fire with a phone. I guess you could like YouTube it maybe, I don't know. But like it could be like the most powerful thing you have. It could save your life. And it could certainly make your life better, or you could destroy everything you own right now with fire. And here's the thing about it, though, I want you to think about. Because our culture would say, okay, fire, very dangerous. We need to walk around with sort of fire extinguishers at any time anybody speaks something that's a little like, ooh, that's problematic, shh, you know, and spray them with the fire extinguisher, shh, that's problematic, that's problematic. But here's the thing I want you to know, and here's where I think the Bible is far wiser than our culture. See, a world without fire, almost as bad as a world on fire, right? Like a world without the heat and without the energy producing, like you drove here, unless we got like one guy with, I don't think we have any electric cars here yet, but like even if you drove your electric car, they were burning natural gas or coal. So a fire got you here. But man, Steve and Tiff are here from California, and I said, like, is it on fire yet? You know, I mean, it's terrible when it's out of control. And so here's where I want to sort of leave you. Man, we have this amazing, amazing, powerful gift. Like, you can say things that can change someone's life. You know that because it's happened to you. Like, the right kind word, the right inspiration, the right correction. And that's what's wrong with this whole culture of like, hey, let's shut down any speech that makes us feel icky. Like, man, we need difficult speech. In fact, as if you're a parent here, the best thing you can do is have really difficult, difficult conversations. And if you're a friend, probably the best thing you can do is have difficult, difficult conversation. And if you're a Christian, it is imperative when we say, I had it up on the screen last week, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me. Hugely offensive to some people, but it is the whole message of Christianity. And so here's where we start, I think. We can be lighter people. Let's be lighter people and not fire extinguisher people. Like, it seems like a good plan, and I get it. I think, I'm not saying this is a conspiracy. I think it's like with the best intentions, we're kind of going around and going, ooh, anything that's hurtful to anybody, shh, shh. Other than Dave Chappelle, he can say anything he wants, but everybody else, we want them to shut up. But that's not the picture that Scripture gives, and that's not the picture that we can learn from Jesus, because the words of Jesus, we don't have that many. Like, if you got a red-letter Bible, like, and if you have the old Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, there are not that many. I mean, it's amazing. Like, you could probably get them down into a PDF file on your phone that's, a few pages long, and they have changed the world, and they've certainly changed my life, and if you're a Christian this morning, they've changed your life. So I want the band to come back up here, and I'm going to pray with you. And I want to start this week. Here's the way we start, just realizing like, I have fire. Like this thing that I'm about to say is fire. It can be fantastic. I can power the world. I can empower anyone, or I can burn my life down. Like, if we just knew that. Peter said this. He said, and Peter knew, because Peter said terrible, stupid things all the time. He said, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil. and your lips from telling lies. We could start there, right? I'm not talking about extinguishing your voice. I'm not talking about, hey, shut up, bite your tongue. I'm saying, like, let's decide this week. And it's going to be hard, and then we're going to come back and have to work on this whole thing because but just say to yourself, man, these words I have are powerful. And they are a gift and they are a curse. And I have the ability to speak something that could make my life better, that could change generations to come, or I can burn this house down really quick this week. So I want to pray with you, and I want to start there. Your words are fire, and we're going to figure out how to tame. And that's what I think is so brilliant about this. What I love about Scripture is the point is to tame this thing. Not to shut it down or not to just go, hey, I don't care, I'll say what I want, but we're going to tame it and make our lives and the lives of everyone around us so, so much better. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you have the words of life. And God, we have so many pitfalls in what we say. It's so dangerous. God, we can just cause so much damage. And the truth is, many of us have. And God, we're so grateful for your forgiveness, and we're so grateful for the mercy and grace you've shown toward us. But God, it would be far better if we could learn to not make some of those horrible mistakes in the future. And so God, I pray that you would help everyone here today. It's not a mistake that they chose to come out on this holiday weekend. And God, I pray that this could be a start of a better way of living as we learn how to tame our tongues. In your name we pray, amen.